Okay, it's my privilege this morning to welcome Stephen Montgomery. He's going to be ministering the word this morning. Let's give him a hand. And he is a zone coach in the church. That means he's overseeing a few small groups. And the Lord has spoken to me a few times about he wants to raise up team ministry in the church. So he wants different people to develop their gifts. And so I felt Stephen should minister and bless us this morning with a word. Okay, so let's receive. Amen.
Well, thanks, Andre. I was quite worried this morning when I woke up, because normally when we have to speak before people or something, then they give you one of these mic stands. And I'm quite short, so it's always a bit higher. There's always a struggle to, you know, just try and tweak it down and get it to my level stuff. So I'm very grateful that I've got a mic to hold in my hand this morning. And also, I'm so excited. I'll probably be walking up and down here a bit. So excuse me if I'm a bit here and there and everywhere. Just want to start my clock here that I don't speak too long. Whew, okay. Quite new to this, so yeah, just be grateful with me. Also, my wife told me I shouldn't be too serious. So if I get too focused, you know, just smile at me or something, and I'll just get a bit eased up. This morning, I'm going to be speaking about stepping out and building up testimonies. Now, just an introduction. Andrew already introduced me. I'm Stephen Montgomery. It's my beautiful wife, Yvette. She'll be doing the slides. We both studied at Stellenbosch. I studied industrial engineering, and my wife studied dietetics. And we got married in December, so we've been married for about 6 months now. And yeah, it's really been a blessing. Straight after we got married, we relocated to East London from Cape Town. And yeah, we really enjoy the place. We find that people are very friendly here. We love the outdoors and fishing and surfing and stuff. So yeah, we're really enjoying East London. But okay, let's get to the message this morning. Okay, before I do that, let's just pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you that we'd come, Lord, and hear from your word, Lord. Father, I just bring myself before you, Lord, and I ask, Lord, that you'll anoint my lips, Lord, and may the words that I speak, Lord, be your words, Lord. And Father, I ask that you'll come and meet us as individuals here this morning, Lord. You know where everybody is, Lord, and Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll meet us as individuals. Come and speak personally into our lives this morning. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to ask you, have any one of you ever been listening to someone speaking, just sharing some of their testimonies and the stories of what God has done in their life, and then thought to yourself, but you know, I don't have those testimonies. I don't have or that bigger testimony or that many testimonies, maybe. You know, I remember I was doing Bible school at Stellenbosch in my second year, and there was loads of lecturers speaking to us on different topics of the Bible and stuff, and they also always used to just share out of their life what God was busy doing and what God has already done, just in a sense testimonies that glorifies God's name. And this would always bless me tremendously. You know, because there's something special that happens when someone shares a testimony. Because it's God's word coming alive in us, coming alive in someone's life. God's word that was written quite a while back being applicable in our life today, in our modern society. So it's really amazing when someone shares a testimony. But that evening, when I was listening once again to a lecture speaking about his testimonies, I actually spoke to the Lord and I said, Father, yes, it's blessing me that they share their testimonies with me. But I want you to come and raise up testimonies in my life. I want you to come and raise up stories in my life, in my own life, that I can start to share to people about what you're doing in my life. I want you, and I want your word to become real in my life and applicable in my life, so that I can glorify your name through the testimonies in my life. And from that day, the Lord is really build up a lot of stories of his goodness and his faithfulness in my life, and he gave me a lot of testimonies from that day. And I've only been serving the Lord for a short while now, so it's really encouraging if we just ask God to come and establish his testimonies in our life. But yeah, the big question that I want to ask you this morning is, why do some have testimonies and other people don't? Why do some have testimonies and others don't? I hope Andre is blessed with that orange question mark, because I did quite a bit of searching to get the orange one. That's the show for colors. Now we're just back to the question, why do some have testimonies and some haven't? And that's, in a sense, the question that I want to answer this morning. I hope we can answer that question this morning. So let's look at the word and what it says about testimonies. Let's look at Revelations 12, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.'" Now, that's just to put this scripture in context for you. This, he's speaking about here the devil, who is the accuser. The accuser is the devil. And he was cast down from heaven with the angels that followed him. He was cast down to earth. As soon as he came to earth, he started accusing the brethren. He started accusing the brethren being Christians, me and you, Christians, believers in God. And the devil is starting to accuse the brethren nonstop. It says day and night he accuses the brethren. And then what I want to focus on here is the next piece here, verse 11. And it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Now we know the importance of the blood as Christians. I mean, the whole Christianity and the basis of our faith is built upon the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for us, for our sins on the cross. And it's only because of his blood, like we sang this morning, it's only because of his blood that we can have freedom and we can come into salvation and be set free and experience a relationship with him. So we know the importance of the blood of God. But what's crazy to me is the next sentence. It says, "Yes, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Now, if we know as Christians how important it is to recognize the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives, and here they mention, in the same sentence, they mention the word of our testimony. I want to ask you today, how important do you think is question? How important do you think is testimony? If God says that they overcame him, they overcame the accuser, his accusations, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, yes, we know that, but also by the word of their testimony. And this word of their testimony is speaking about the physical word of God, which is the testimony of what God did, but I believe it's also speaking of God's work in our lives, the story that he does in our lives. So if you ask me, Stephen, why are you speaking about testimonies this morning? Why are you going on about testimonies? Exactly this. This is why I want to make a point here. We're speaking about testimonies this morning because it's very important for us as Christians to have testimonies. Because this is one of the keys in overcoming the devil, in overcoming the accusations of the devil. Every day, you know, where we are, we'll get accusations from the devil, especially if we are in situations, if we are in situations where we might not experience God's fullness or his grace or whatever at that time. Maybe some of you are here today and you're struggling with some kind of sickness. Or maybe you're struggling to get a job or whatever. Maybe you're battling with finances. And maybe you're battling with relationships or a dear one to you died recently. I don't know what your circumstances are, but it's in those circumstances. I know in my personal life, the only thing that keeps me standing when situations like this comes is the testimonies that God already did in my life. That I can actually say to the devil, when he comes and accuses me, I can say, I can laugh in a sense, because you know, God has already done this and this and this and this. And because he's done this, I can trust him and I believe that he will once again bring breakthrough in this situation. So I want to tell you that if you ask me, is testimony important? I want to tell you that testimony is very important for Christians to overcome. I'm not speaking about salvation. Salvation, we only need the blood. What I'm speaking now is overcoming the devil. As Christians, overcoming the devil and his accusations. It is extremely important for us to have testimonies raised up in our life. Amen. Okay, so I just want to share a testimony of my own life. I'll be sharing some stories of my life this morning. And when I was in my first year at Stellenbosch, starting my studies, I really had difficulty to grasp the word, just the work, the engineering, especially in engineering maths and the engineering drawings. You know, I spend a lot of time. I know some of you are smiling. Thank you. It also makes me smile. You know, probably engineering math and stuff. It's quite hard, and I used to spend a lot of time, you know, studying, doing exercises, but it was still difficult. I struggled to grasp the work and understand it, and I used to go to class from 8 to 5, and then do a bit of sport in the afternoon, and then go to the bib again until the bib closes. I'd just be studying, and nothing, in a sense, kind of helped. I still struggled to grasp the work. And I'm not even speaking about the exam times or the test times. It was just normal times during the year that I wanted to, just to keep up with the lecture and what he's saying. But then, so in a sense, luckily I already had a relationship with God. I trusted God and I prayed to God and I asked him, Lord, help me with this work, help me understand it. And maybe I'm going to interrupt myself there. You know, God doesn't do miracles. He does do miracles. Sorry, forget about it. He does do miracles. God is not into magic. God doesn't do magic. He always works through a process. Salvation is a process. Deliverance is a process. Just like that, trust in the Lord is a process. It's not like one morning you don't trust the Lord and the next day, you know, bam, you just have the biggest faith and you just trust God. No, God works with a process. Why? Because he wants relationship. Everything that God does is through relationship. He wants to walk a path with us. And so then I was praying and asking the Lord to help me with my studies. But it didn't just happen like that. I didn't just understand the work like that. But slowly but surely, God made it a bit more understandable to me and so forth and so forth. But still, I was struggling a lot. And after the first quarter, even though I spent a lot of time studying, my marks didn't really reflect the studies that I put in. And I went to speak to my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, I'm really struggling with this and I'm not even enjoying my studies. I'm not even enjoying it. They say that when you're a student, it should be some of the best times of your life, but I'm really not experiencing it like that at all. I'm really not experiencing that in that way at all. And they were loving and understanding. They told me, it's fine. If it's really that bad for me, I could start looking at other things to study. And we made a decision after June, basically after the first 6 months, I can look for something else. I have to complete the first 6 months and stick it out. And after that, I can look for other things to study. Because it didn't make sense at that time to just change the direction, of course, because all the other courses also already started that year. Okay, I'm going on a bit too long about this. basically, that first year, after 6 months, by God's grace, I actually passed all my exams. I didn't even have a rewrite that year. And slowly but surely, like I said, God started to build trust in me. In my second year, during actually that first 6 months, I realized that there's opportunity for engineer to do your four years course in 5 years. And I thought, that's quite a nice thing, you know. It would spread out the load. They've got some extra modules that helps you like it's a bridging module that helps you understand the work. So I went to see the rector of the engineering faculty, and for some reason he wasn't there that week. So I went to see the vice rector, spoke to him, explained the story of how I'm struggling with my studies and I want to go in the extended program. They call it the Verlengde Graad program in Afrikaans. And he looked at me and he had a quick look at my marks and he said, "Ah, you know, he's actually not going to let me go in the 5 years. I have to do it in 4 years." And I thought, "What? This is crazy, man. I just explained to this guy, I'm really struggling. What else must I tell him, you know?" And I've never heard of someone before asking to go on the five-year plan and not being allowed to go on the five-year plan. So it was crazy. And I was cross and I went out there and I went to res and I said, "God, what is this? I'm trusting you." And I thought, this is now my big breakthrough. I can do it in 5 years. But now looking back, you know, God knows better. You know, God always knows better. When we're in a situation, we just see this, but God sees the bigger picture. And now looking back at, you know, I understand why God did this for two reasons, you know. Of course, for number one, why would he make me do a course in 5 years if he can let me complete it in 4 years? You know, why would he make me waste 1 year of my life? And probably the second one, which is probably more important, is why would he allow me to go on a five-year course? A course that's for over 5 years. In a sense, I'll be able to do it in my own capacity. When he can put me on the four-year course, or keep me on the four-year course, and it would make me extremely dependent on him. You know, because this four-year course, I couldn't do it on my own. So I'd have to keep being on my knees, praying to him. And that was obviously God's plan. He wanted to keep me with him. He wanted to build trust in me. He wanted me to come and ask him for breakthroughs in the areas, and then actually shows that he does it. Then in my second year, yes, the work actually, I ended up passing that first year. In my second year, the work actually got more and more difficult. But because I had the first year behind my back, I trusted the Lord now that he also come through for me in this year. You know, mouth gets quite dry when you're speaking. And in my second year, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip. But the challenge for this mission trip was I had the opportunity to go to Malawi. But the challenge was that the mission trip was in the exam rewrite times. Now, the decision that I had to make then is either I go on the mission or I don't. Because if I go on the mission and I have a rewrite, I immediately fail the subject. Because I'll be somewhere in Malawi by the time I receive my marks. But like I said, luckily God is gracious, or he's a gentle God, and he starts off little by little, obviously with the first year, placing trust in me, or putting faith in me to trust him. So by that time I could say, "Okay, Lord, if you want me to go on missions, then I trust that you'll help me to complete my exams the first time." And actually God gave me a promise. He told me that in the 4 years of my studies, I won't once have to do a rewrite. I won't once have to fail a subject. And this is actually crazy for some of you that've been studying. Most of the students in Stellenbosch, at some or other time in their course, they actually need to have a rewrite. And a lot still fail subjects, and they have to catch up and do it over again. And I also knew that a lot of the other people studying with me were much more academically tuned in and more intellectual than I was. So this is a crazy promise from God, you know. But I decided, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to stand firm on this promise. Sometimes we get promises from God. And I want to encourage you, when you get a promise from God, to write it down somewhere. Take note of it. So I took the promise, and I wrote it there where I used to study. I wrote it big there that God promised me I won't have a rewrite. Every time I went to study, I had an exam, whatever, I'd look at this promise of God and be reminded, yes, God gave me this promise, so I'm going to stand in this. Any case, went on missions that year. While we were almost over the border, we got the marks, and once again, God is faithful. He made me pass, but one subject I passed exactly 50 on the dot. Now, I probably got 49 or 48 or something, and God just gave me favor and let, and made the lecture put me through or something. But that's just God. He's faithfulness. In my third year, God actually told me that, you know, He's been working in my life, building trust in my life now. Now He wants me to start to give a bit. I've been receiving a lot from Him. Now He wants me to give. And He placed the first year in my section that year. And this guy, you know, he'd just pitch up at my door at any time of the day. Late at evenings, early in the mornings. He'd just have questions. Questions about the Bible, questions about Christianity. You know, what about this? What about this? But these people say this. At the beginning, I was like, Lord, what is this guy? He just come barging in my room every time of the day. But the Lord actually told me that I need to disciple this guy. And I need to spend time with him. And God gave me a heart for him. Gave me a real heart for him. And we ended up having a great relationship. Ended up doing a lot of surfing together. We became good friends. But that was just kind of my next step of trusting. I had to trust God now. Because now it wasn't only trusting Him for my own life. But now I needed to trust Him for someone else's. And you can ask my wife. When I study, I'm very focused. So when I study, I close the doors. I close everything. Everything needs to be, you know, in order. The windows must be like this and everything. You know, everything must be just right. You know, no one's allowed to come in and everything. Even she's not allowed to come in or whatever. Because I'm focused, you know, I'm busy here. I'm busy with the studies. But what happened that race, this guy would just barge in any time, you know. He didn't really care about what my little formulas was or what. So I said, okay, God, you want me to disciple this guy. So I'm going to trust you now. For the first time, I'm going to actually let people come in, or let him, not people, let him come in. let him come in and spend time when he's coming in and build a relationship with him. Because this is what you told me, that I must disciple him. So yes, I started to do that when he came in, even though I was busy with a project or exam preparation or maybe preparing for a test or whatever. I'd leave my stuff and I'd just be spending time with him, chatting with him, and it always took like 3 hours. You know, this guy, he just had a lot of questions. And we'd be speaking out of the word and sharing from my own life and everything. You know what? It was amazing. The amazing thing is that by the end of that that year, I had the privilege to lead him to Christ. By the end of the year, I had the privilege to lead him to Christ. I had the privilege to pray for him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The next year, I had the privilege to go on another mission trip with him. He was at my wife's wedding. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional, but this is people's lives, man. And you know, God uses a little bit that we have. God uses a little bit that we have, and He uses it to touch other people's lives. I want to tell you this morning that we don't need much. We just need to be faithful in a little bit that God gives us, and He will bring the increase. I had the privilege of, like I said, He was at me and my wife's. Sorry, man. Yes. Come on. Okay. I had the privilege of. He was at a wedding, and currently, once again, he's on another mission trip. At the moment, he's in a mission trip in Africa. So that's just God's faithfulness and His goodness. Just once again, I want to show you from my first year to my third year, how God slowly but surely started to build trust in my life. And I want us to look at another scripture of where Peter stepped out of the boat, Matthew 14, verse 24 to 29. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, the first portion of the scripture there, verse 24. Now, I see this as the situation here, as an opportunity to trust. Just like my opportunity in my first year to trust the Lord. Maybe we have a situation, you've got a situation like I say, in your life now. And things are a bit hectic, you know. Things are, your boat is being tossed by the waves. You know, imagine this boat on the ocean. It's dark. They say the fourth watch was probably between 3 and 6 in the night, so it was dark. And the boat, the sea is going crazy. The boat being going side to side. So it's not a nice situation being in. Maybe you, one of you, or you're in a similar situation, like I say, with relationships or whatever, and your boat is being tossed. I want us to start seeing this as an opportunity to trust God. In the next piece, verse 26, it says there that, you know, now choosing fear or choosing trust. God gave them the opportunity when the boat was going crazy. They gave an opportunity to trust. But now we have to choose. Do we choose trust or do we choose fear? And a lot of the disciples here and the people that were on that boat chose to fear, you know, because they cried out with fear. So they probably chose fear. But not Peter. Not Peter. We look in the next verse. Not Peter. He actually, he said, Lord, if it is you, let me walk in the water. Because if it is God, you know, he can do anything. So Lord, if this is you, let me walk in the water, which is something crazy. And in this piece, which I also got out of it, is receiving the promise, in a sense. Because here God says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And in a sense, that was the promise that I got from God in my second year. That he told me that I won't have to do any rewrites in my whole course. And by God's grace, I didn't. I finished my course in 4 years. And I didn't once have to do a rewrite. I didn't once have to fail a subject. And I'm telling you, it is not because of my own abilities. I can promise you it's not because of my own abilities. That 50 that I got in my second year, I had a couple more 50s in the years to come. So here God gives Peter a promise. And maybe God has given you a promise. Maybe God has already spoken to you and told you, Clint or whatever, Alan, you need to do this and this. I want you to do this and this. I have a calling on your life and you need to go for it. Maybe God has already given you a promise. And now, on the last piece of that scripture, now the next one, is we're back to the big question. Why do some people have testimonies and others not? And I believe the answer we find in that, in this last piece, this last piece of Matthew 14, in the stepping out part. You know, because here in the last part, Peter had the opportunity to trust. He chose to trust. Then he received the promise from God that he said, come. And now the last part was up to Peter. Peter had to step out. He didn't receive a testimony of walking on the water. Unless he couldn't receive a testimony of walking on the water unless he stood out to step out of the boat. A lot of times we sit in the boat. We're sitting in the boat, and God gives us the opportunity, and we even choose to trust him. And we even receive a promise from him, but we remain in the boat. And I'm telling you, if we don't step out, we can't, or God can't be God. Because once you step out onto the water, when you're in the boat, you're in control. Okay, you can say you trust God and everything, but you're in control. When you step out onto the water, you know, it better be God that gave you the promise. It better be God that comes through for you now. Because if you don't walk on the water, then you drown. In this situation, if Peter stood out and it wasn't God, he would have drowned. But if it was God, he would have had an amazing testimony. I think he's the only person that has ever walked on water except for Jesus. He's the only person that could walk on water. And how do you think that boosts his faith the next time that, you know, he was accused by the devil? He could actually laugh and say, man, God made me walk on water, man. What is this? Do you think it's a problem for God to give me a job? Do you think it's a problem for God to fix a relationship? No, he made me walk on water, man. He had something to stand fast on. But only because he stepped out. Only because he stepped out. I heard once a pastor saying he'd rather be a wet Peter than a doubting Timothy. And that actually is quite good, you know. We should rather be a wet Peter. Sometimes maybe we miss it and we become a little bit wet. But I'd rather be a wet Peter than a doubting Timothy, staying in the boat, doubting my whole life about everything. Is this from God? Is it not from God? Is this from God? Is it not from God? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? I want to encourage you this morning to, and the band, you can come up so long. Encourage you this morning to whatever your situation is, to trust in God and to start stepping up so that God can be God. So that he can come in, intervene in our lives and bring the breakthrough. Do the supernatural. We're going to be singing now that a song, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the word of their testimonies. And while we are singing, I want to encourage you, if you are at that place where God has already given you a promise, well, you know, sometimes we don't even need a promise. Sometimes we make it too intellectual, because the word, for example, says go. You know, the word says go. So that's already a commandment. So maybe you've received the commandment of the God, or you've received the calling on life, but you're afraid, you're staying in the boat, you don't want to step out. I want to encourage you this morning, as we sing this song, as an act of faith, step out from where you are and just come to the front and explain, open your heart to God. You're not going to have ministry or whatever here. I just want you to connect with God here. Okay? Because in the end of this morning, I want us to go out here and have a hunger to get testimonies. Testimonies for God. We must go out here today and ask God, Lord, what is on your heart this week? I want, by the end of this week, I want to have another testimony to share of your goodness and faithfulness. And if you're in a period of the waves being tossed to and fro, I want to tell you, hang in there. Trust in God. One thing I can tell you is God is faithful. He is really faithful. He never puts us up for a fall. As the band just sings, if you're a new believer or whatever, just relax, just chill out. Let's just come into the presence of God. And like I said, if you feel like it, step out and come to the front.